Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and superheroes. I already said superheroes. My name is Dan Moore. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host. John Maltz is here. Hi, John.
Man, I just got off the salmon ladder. I feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Those abs, they look in washboard. Yeah. Way to go.
It turns out it's a lot easier than it looks.
A salmon can do it, John. Guy English is also here.
I should be clear. It was an actual salmon ladder. It was not.
Is a salmon ladder the thing you get at like a sushi, restaurants?
The water was not running down it. I was just walking up it.
I thought it was one of those things at the sushi restaurants with a conveyor belt. Like, just hit me with the salmon ladder, just in the mouth.
Yeah. That'd be really, you got a real M.C. Escher problem with that because it's got to go all the way around.
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a solution. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Bad news. I just nuked Bloodhaven.
we're bringing back the old hits.
So was it Bloodhaven? I mean, she dropped a new gun. I can't remember.
It was some quaint valley, some quaintly named town.
It was full of nothing but preschoolers and nuns.
we're waxing nostalgic here on this week's episode, talking about old episodes of Arrow, a show that we amazingly watched all of and covered.
And there's a reason why we're talking about that.
There is a reason why we're talking about that. Well, I mean, you know, we'll set the scene here. We've been off for a couple weeks. Obviously, we're in a little bit of a dry spell for new superhero TV shows, which is
even though Dan said superhero twice.
I know. I was trying to.
You got to say it the third time before it'll appear.
Superhero. Anything.
But it's just gonna be.
It's gonna be a heck of a show today.
Yeah, it's just gonna be Beetlejuice, and he's just gonna say, "I'm Batman."
Is Beetlejuice a superhero? Oh, he is Michael Keaton.
Of course.
There's a lot happening in there. Let's unpack that. This week on Biff, let's unpack that.
Yeah, we're unpacking Beetlejuice.
Putting him back away. So we
Gina Davis and the Phantom. Nope, the Shadow.
That's true. Shadow, right. The Shadow and Batman.
Beetlejuice is a vampire and superheroes.
Yeah. And Gina Davis is a pirate.
True.
Yep.
True. We're here to talk about some superhero
Spock's mom.
You still going?
Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm done.
this week, we're going to discuss a few things that may have fallen through the cracks when it comes to superhero viewing that maybe you've missed. But don't worry, I've watched all of, because somehow I found the time to do that? Weird.
Dan refused to record with us, but was sitting around watching nothing.
Yeah. I had to do the homework.
The worst possible superhero movies.
And weirdly enough, you guys watch a ton of crap, and neither of you watched any of this stuff. This stuff is out here for the watching.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to start off talking about a couple of things I've watched that I'm going to sum up that I actually... Let's start with the things I actually liked. Pennyworth season 3. I don't know if you guys get beyond the first season or first few episodes.
I don't think I
did not.
Two episodes in, maybe.
Oh man, I like this show. I have to say, I think it's pretty solid.
Let's just assume everybody's as in the dark as I am.
Well, let me explain them, because it's now been explained in the title change, which is now Pennyworth : the origin of Batman's butler.
My god.
Because apparently, like you guys, nobody
Gotham,
else really knew what it was
Batman's
about.
From
90210 douchebag area code.
I will say I've enjoyed all three seasons of this, mainly because the vibe it has is much more of like 1960s spy show than anything else, and that's kind of up my alley. And I think the guy who plays Jack Bannon, who plays Alfred, is really good. And I enjoy a lot of the supporting cast as well. So I feel like it's one of those things that in some ways is better off if you didn't connect it to Batman. It's kind of a pretty good show if you didn't have to worry about like any continuity with anything else. And I don't think this show finds itself particularly over-concerned with that. Like, it doesn't spend a lot of time like, oh, here's the origin of this Batman villain, or like, here's this thing that will be important when, you know, Batman's a going concern years from now.
To its good credit, and I enjoyed it much more.
Dan, I hate to tell you, but Batman is a going concern right now.
Batman is always a going concern. to its great credit, Gotham improved when it stopped doing that, maybe after the first season or something. It was just you know what? Sure. We are going bananas. Would you like bananas on top of your bananas? We got those too. some nuts sprinkled on top. And I, as I understand it, Pennyworth is not quite a spinoff of Gotham, but cut from the same cloth a little bit.
It's made by the same people, but it doesn't, it doesn't necessarily, again, it doesn't follow in the, like, this is a prequel to Gotham. It's not drawing a line specifically between those things. But it does have a very similar vibe to Gotham. And I think that's what I, those later seasons of Gotham that got just a little bananas and weird. And that's kind of what I enjoyed about it, is I feel like this one, this season, which deals mainly with, like, there's a weird mind control drug that's making, you know, people are using to make people go crazy and kill people. Like, and there's a bunch of, like, there are now a bunch of powered individuals sort of out there that the government's trying to control. Like, all of this stuff kind of works. It's all self-contained, which I kind of enjoy. And it's got a really strong cast, I think, is one of the things I tend to enjoy about it, as I said. Like, I think, you know, even the fact that Bruce's parents are in it, like, the actors who play them are really good, and it's they're interesting characters within their own rights, which is something that I think other Batman properties have toyed with, but, you know, we haven't seen as much on the screen. Like, right, we got a little bit of, like, hints of that in, I think, even in the Batman this year.
I was just thinking, the Batman actually did a pretty good job of that, given...
But
I had such low expectations of that, but it came away ultimately kind of liking it.
This one, I think, actually even, like, more... They're just characters, and they're people in their own rights and have their own stories going on, and I think... like I said, you basically forget that it's even really about Batman. And I think, it's basically about a security consultant who gets involved with, like, in, you know, spy work in the 1960s London, like, sort of an alt history London. And that's,
'cause 60s puts him way too early to be a contemporary Batman's butler, right? Like, it's clearly an alternate reality kind of thing.
Well, it depends on how old. Well, yeah, who knows?
Well, 60s, yeah, I mean,
they're always cagey. I think that's what's the interesting thing about, I mean, like, if you look at something like, Gotham never really had a time period, and all the stuff, remember, all the tech is old, like, they always had, like, CRTs, and,
it seemed like, yeah, but the cars seemed, like, really old, the cars seemed like 80s, but they had flip phones, right?
Right.
Yeah.
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 So, I like, it's one of those things where,
wave your hand and say, like, just don't worry about it too much, right?
Right.
Like, it's not important. Yeah. So, anyways, I thought Pennyworth season 3 was pretty good. I've enjoyed all three seasons of that show with various degrees.
This is on HBO?
It's now, this makes it easier too, because when it first started airing, it was on Epix, I think, which
that was it.
Then
I
got
could
absorbed.
Not find
it was hard to find.
Yeah. Every time I tried to find it, Batman would swoop out of the dark and say, "Get away from that truck." And I did, because he's the Batman.
Yeah, don't mess with him.
You need to call Ollie. You want a truck heist? Yeah. You call Ollie.
Oh, man. There's a great, why don't we write TV shows? That would be awesome.
Because people listen to this show and then they're like, we're not hiring these idiots.
Yeah, really. Yeah. We've already blown it.
Yeah, well, they definitely can't do the schedule thing. So
he's still on that.
Whatever. So how about how do we get into this, Dan? Like, what's your, like, start at episode one and keep going?
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Like, I think you probably have to, right? Because it's one of those shows that seems like it's serial.
It's,
you know, it's
fairly serial. And there's stuff that pays off in later episodes that definitely, if you haven't watched the earlier ones, you won't quite deliver in the same way. I do think the first season holds up pretty well. It's got a pretty solid arc to it. But you do have to, like, give it a couple episodes, I think, to just remember, yes, it's an alternate history, stuff's a little weird, but, like, in the same way that Gotham never feels like it's exactly in the U.S., right? Like, it's its own little thing, right? It has its own little reality around it. So, yeah, I think if you've been sleeping on this one and you are a fan of, like, especially sort of, it reminds me a little bit of, like, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie that they did a few years ago with Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Like, it's got, like, a vibe that's kind of, like, you know, of that era, and it's highly stylized. It's a little bloody at times, a little violent at times, but not,
I think that's what turned me off of it. It was bloody, and it didn't seem to have the, I mean, Peacemaker's bloody, but it's also funny.
I don't think this is gratuitously so, but it is certainly like I think it's done with a point, but it's like not it's, like just for the reveling in the sake of it.
No, I guess not. But it's like, I don't know.
Anyways, it's I would say give it a few more episodes. I mean, I honestly think it's a good show. So, and you know, if you really felt like the first season wasn't working for you, you could try skipping the second season and just see.
If you really didn't like the first three seasons, you don't have to watch the next eight.
Well, we'll see. I don't even know if it'll make it to the next.
We did Arrow, didn't we? That's exactly what happened with Arrow.
Yeah. I don't know if this will get renewed or not. I don't know what the current thinking is on it. So this may be all that she wrote, given the situation at HBO these days.
Yeah, but wait, but they pulled out season three, right? Are we closing up season three or starting?
Season three is over. It's done. Yeah. So,
so it was probably in the can before the whole.
I think that's correct. Yeah,
switcheroo happened.
Yeah. Then again, so was Batgirl, and it didn't stop.
This was Batgirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, this was probably more finished than
probably
that was.
Probably more done, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason they...
Yeah, and the egg on their face. I mean, believe me, I'm not defending this jackass, but you look like a dummy if you put out yet another crappy movie, like another crappy Bat movie, and if you just let a TV show peter out one last season, it's, you know, financially not as bad and just not as embarrassing, I think. Not that they did an unembarrassing thing. They totally embarrassed themselves, but whatever, you know, short-sighted. Okay, so the verdict on Pennyworth is worth watching and get into it at season one, episode one.
I would say start there, but yeah, if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. It doesn't work for everybody, but I think it's pretty solid.
Okay, cool. I want to establish that as a pattern as we visit each one of these horrible things that you've watched. Not horrible. Each one of these things that you've watched that we have not watched. It's like, should we watch it? And if so, you know, how many puffs do we need to take?
Are you explaining the new rating system?
Yeah, yeah. I'm inventing it on it. Yeah, from whole cloth. Yeah. 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 Puff count and, you know, if it's even worth doing it at all.
Let's move on to something else that I know you guys have watched some of, which is Stargirl, and we have covered some of on this show as well. I watched the third and what is the final season, because this was another casualty of this was in case the CW got bought basically by another, I don't even know what the description is, an investment firm or some other like company bought them up basically and has canceled a bunch of their slate and what have you. But so they finished out their third season, which was subtitled Frenemies. Actually I also kind of like this. I didn't think I was going to. I got a little tired of season two. I was with you guys. Like it did feel like it dragged on a little bit. I think in some ways this is a show I enjoy more when I don't have to talk about it every week. Cause yes, if you spend all your time writing notes about it, it does feel less substantive. But what I will say about this third season, which starts mainly as a murder mystery, and involves a lot of the various, villains from the previous two seasons trying to essentially, make good, it is heavily involves Joel McHale's Starman character, and there is a the development of the JSA via his sort of mentorship to the team. Joel McHale is an interesting addition to this cast, and I know there were they sort of led up to that, right? There were little scenes in the first two seasons about him coming back. I will say the explanation for how he is resurrected is given in this season. It was not what I expected. It's actually pretty good. And I was very, here's the thing. There is enough plot stuff here that I don't know that you guys are ever going to watch this, but I also don't want to spoil it for anyone because there's some good stuff at the end of the season that took me by surprise. And I was like, oh, that's what we're doing. Interesting.
And I forget how many episodes I watched, but I was annoyed by the beginning, at least, where they're setting up this awkwardness between him and her about the staff. I was just, it seemed contrived. It seemed like Secrets from Arrow. It seemed like one of those things. It seemed very, okay, this is a show for teenagers because this plotline is not working for me.
There, again, without saying too much,
Yeah.
There are legitimate reasons for that that actually kind of make sense when you get to the end of the show. Okay. Like, and you're like, oh, right. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm trying not to be too much of a dick about it, but I feel like I was impressed with some of the choices that they made. There were at least a few like twists and revelations I did not see coming throughout this season, which impressed me. Like whenever there is kind of a moment of like, oh yeah, like that's a thing I didn't really even think about. There is like a weird, there's basically also a two-part backdoor pilot in the middle of this, because apparently they were going to do a spinoff centered around the daughter of the Green Lantern.
Did it have the Mandalorian in it? Because that would be pretty bad. Yes,
that's right. Grogu and the Mandalorian show up midway through the season, and you're just like, what?
It's the best two episodes.
I feel like I would do that if I ran a network. There would be like in the middle of MASH, there's just the Mandalorian would show up somehow.
Yeah, right.
Because you have a time machine.
Yep.
And yeah, though there is the spinoff for the Green Lantern's daughter, which was supposed to be another sort of JSA spinoff thing. You could probably skip that. It's not critical to the plot. I will say the upside to it is it does have a lot of the Shade in it, who is a character I actually really enjoy.
The Shade was good.
And it does. I mean, I know that's a dumb comic book question, but
comic book question.
Not in the.
And it also has, it was hinted at the end of last season. This is the primary two episodes where you get Mr. Bones, voiced by Keith David, who is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also a direction, and it also had a couple directions in there I thought were clever and not what I expected them to do. It wasn't like, let's just follow the pattern of the comic books exactly, which was pleasing. Yeah, I mean, at the end, I think probably if anything, this show does suffer from the challenge of it is, you know, it's a network show where you have to fill out 13 episodes, and it's hard to fill out 13 episodes, much less, you know, 26 or whatever they do for a lot of the other network shows.
Yeah.
But I felt like I wanted to put a bow on this series because I enjoyed the first season a lot. The second season I thought was a little weaker. This season, you know, it has some good stuff in it. I think, you know, it is something that doesn't require necessarily you pay utter attention to it. It's kind of a nice background show, but I think by the end of the last two or three episodes are solid enough that you will actually find yourself being like, huh, I'm actually going to pay more attention now.
Okay. Now that it's over.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's it. They're done.
They're done. Yeah, it's over. It's been
that
canceled.
Actually would make me, so that encourages me to watch it. I know that maybe sounds counterintuitive, but
well, because you could get through it, right?
I mean, I could get through it. Like,
I mean, not to be a backdrop.
There is, I will say,
I don't mean it quite as bad as I said it, but like,
there is a there is a button on the end of it that feels like they popped it on there just to make it feel like. And someday the adventures could continue or whatever, but it's not like a lead in to like
that's
a specific plot
storytelling.
Yeah,
jazz,
exactly.
You know, it's,
well, and especially in superhero stuff where it's like nobody ever really dies.
Sorry,
yeah.
Genre jazz. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I say it that way because I think one of the reasons I totally stopped watching Flash was it just. Stop, Barry, stop. Like, there was just season after season after season, and when I fell behind on the pace, I'm just like, that's it. I don't care to catch it. I'm never going to catch it.
It's an insurmountable.
It's like, too much, and it's not good enough. You know, like, even if there's a few gems in there, I'm just not interested. And it's not just that I'm blasting the Flash for this, because basically the same thing happened to Supernatural, which I actually did enjoy. Like, my enjoyment of Supernatural baseline was probably higher than the Flash. Just
I'll give you that.
Those
I'd
guys
agree.
Were charming and like the situations were funny. And every now and then, at least once a season, there was a really good one. It was often the one where they just went off book and did something wild. But even then, like, I don't know when I stopped watching after season 6 or 7 kind of thing. Like, I'd had enough. Cool. But 3 seasons, I feel like I can do. So I've got 1 more of this and 3 worth of Pennyworth. So
I'm making a list for you.
Yeah, Professor Morin over here.
Yeah, time for a little
Taskmaster,
homework, guys.
Yeah, Taskmaster, right. I've got to watch too.
Do you want to talk about something you shouldn't watch?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, sink our teeth in.
Oh boy, so I watched. I don't remember why. I watched Black Adam. I think my wife went. I think it was when I was sick. and my wife had a wedding to go to that I was supposed to go to, but I ended up not going because I was sick. So I stayed home with a kid who was also sick. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm sitting at home by myself. I'm going to watch a movie that she is never in a million years going to want to watch.
You did text us and be like, you've sent us a photo of your TV screen with like the play button highlighted. And you're like, should I watch this? My wife is out.
It was free. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, that's the best thing you can say about it, right?
Yeah, that's where. So I took that one for the team. Oh, boy. Where to start with this? It's not a great movie. So the Rock has apparently been trying to get a Black Adam movie made for a super long time. Black Adam, if you're not familiar with him, is a antagonist to Shazam. And this movie has only one, as far as I could tell, direct connections with the Shazam movie, which is the wizard who gives him his powers. Is also in this one, played by Jimon Hounsou. And I think that's it. I think that's literally the only connection to the Shazam movie. This movie also has the JSA in it, which is weird, but a totally different version of the JSA with Hawkman and Dr. Fate. And then two other characters who are kind of minor comics characters. One is Cyclone, who is, I want to say, somehow connected to Red Tornado. And then one is Atom Smasher, who is a connected to the Atom. In this one, he's the nephew of the Atom, of one Ray of the Palmer? Versions of the Atom.
Okay.
Not the Ray Palmer version. Let me look here. It's Albert Rothstein?
Albert Brooks.
Yes, Albert Brooks. I was trying to find actually the story. He's the godson, or in this one, the nephew of the Golden Age Adam, who is Al Pratt. I will say this character appears in one of the moments that is very short, but a slight delight. He's like the character who's a young guy is talking on the phone with his uncle, the Adam, who has lent him his costume, and the original Golden Age Adam is played by Henry Winkler. Always a delight to see Henry Winkler. Yeah. That's a great cameo. It's super short, though, and honestly, you know, don't get too excited about it. He gets like one good line, and that's it. I will say, this surprised me a lot. I didn't know the guy who played him is a young guy named Noah Centineo, who started out in Netflix like romantic comedies. And I actually thought he was the best part of this movie. He's kind of the comic relief character, and he's really good. Like, and so I was surprised because they give him all the sort of the funny lines and whatever, and he seems kind of like aw shucksy. But he's kind of charming, and I enjoyed his part in this. And the actress who plays Cyclone is pretty solid as well, but I don't think they give her quite as much to do. I really love the actors, both the actors who play Dr. Fate and Hawkman, who are Pierce Brosnan and Aldous Hodge, respectively. Neither of those roles is written particularly well, which is a shame. I love Dr. Fate. I don't know why. I enjoy that character. I think like as a kid, one of my friends had like a Dr. Fate action figure and I was like, who is this guy? What's his story? And it just, you know, I like the helmet and stuff. And there's been really great versions.
It's a cool outfit.
Yeah.
There's really great versions of him in animation, like Young Justice and Justice Unlimited and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's creepy in an effective way.
Yeah.
And he I forget the name of the run of comic books. It was Harry Potter esque, whatever. Like a bunch of
Books of Magic?
Books of Magic. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's in that, and he and the Spectre, and like, I forget which other. There's another old school, like, superheroes kind of like.
Isn't it like Phantom Stranger and.
Phantom Stranger, that's it. Phantom Stranger, Spectre, and him are like these three god level, like weirdos, basically magical weirdos. And it's good and it's effective. And like that, the way that helmet talks to you and messes with your mind is creepy and effective.
Yeah.
I like it. I loved seeing Pierce Brosnan in that costume. I'm like, that looks great. He just. I mean, he's a handsome fella, but like his beard and everything, and
it's
that
a great
blue
look.
And the gold. Yeah. I'm like, that's a great look. I love it.
The production design for both him and Hawkman is really solid. It's
yeah,
just
yeah, he, yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. Like, Hawkman is very like Batman in this. Like, he's got a huge mansion and a jet, and you're like, what? And I mean, Aldous Hodge is super cool and can pull pretty much anything off and deserves to be a superhero. It's just not a Hawkman. Carter Hall is not a character with a lot of depth to him, I feel like, or at least not you know, it's a real attempt to make a lesser known superhero really popular. And I just don't think Hawkman is that great a character.
I think Biff, as an institution, such that it is very much on the record of not liking Hawkman. He started off in Legends, which is turned out oddly to be one of her favorite shows. But man, Hawkman gotta go. Hawkman was the worst. And Justice League Unlimited, I think, also had a crappy version of Hawkman.
But it has an awesome version of Hawkwoman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
she's
they make
great.
Hawkman interesting, kind of interesting, in that he's basically a stalker and insane. And Shaira is probably one of the best characters on the show. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's so well done.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also tricky because I feel like this whole premise of that character is kind of thorny. Because he's got like multiple lives and it's all about being reborn and like,
or he's an alien.
There's versions where he's an alien. This doesn't get into
that's
any
the
of that.
Only
he's
one
just
that
a,
I really know at all.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the one that was in
the original one is literally like he is, what is he? He's a reincarnated, like a version of a prince from Egypt as like a white American. And you're like, that seems weird.
The one they went with in Justice League, it hilariously mixes them both. They were aliens that crashed into ancient Egypt, established a perfect society. They were in love. Their vizier, their like high priest, effectively murdered them because he was jealous. And then the society collapsed due to their alien intervention being gone. And then they get recreated according to ancient Egyptian myths, reincarnated. So it's basically chocolate and peanut butter.
It's got something for everyone.
Except not chocolate or peanut butter, but two things that don't go particularly well together at all. It's very much like a Dynekin. What's his name? Kurt von Dynekin? Like a ancient alien style approach to the characters, which I don't find appealing or compelling and weird, and it completely muddies the intent, right? And when the intent of Hawkman is to be like, no matter what, life after life, I'm gonna be with this woman, I don't think that's really an appropriate message for superheroing, you know?
Yeah,
it's a little any weird. More than the Punisher, which is like, let's go shoot people in the face. Like, I don't think these are things to be modeling heroes off of.
Yeah,
even flawed heroes. And, I think, you know, it's too touchy.
They kind of skip all of that stuff in this version, and he's literally just a guy who has like the nth metal and like a lot of technology, like alien technology, and it just it's fine. It's just doesn't really, it's not very compelling. I want to add there's also Sarah Shahi, who's actually an actress I've seen for a lot of years, and I really like. She's in this as Adriana Tomaz, as basically Isis, and it just made me miss Zari, because Zari is a way better version of either version of Zari is a way better version of this character than her version, who is just kind of, she's, you know, the mother of this kid, and like she helps, you know, galvanize Black Adam into doing the right thing or whatever. It's kind of boring. She doesn't have a lot to do.
That's too bad. She's good.
Yeah, she's good. Absolutely. There's a lot of good actors in this movie, just a lot of things that are not really well put together. This does have a tie-in with the larger DC universe in that Amanda Waller appears. The DC EU version of Amanda Waller shows up and is like giving orders to the Justice Society or working with the Justice Society. I was just like, I don't really know where you're going with that.
we're throwing in a character that we need to. But at one point,
spoiling
stuff. But there are other movies you might want to see.
Yeah, they well, I mean, imprisoned
it worked
him.
For Nick Fury, right? And
yeah, exactly.
Nick they Fury, kind of tried Amanda to play, Waller, they're Waller's, so doing a similar thing.
More evil than Nick Fury, I always feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely. I mean, I but Nick so. Fury, also, not a white knight. And
true.
No, that's true.
But
yeah,
he comes down on
but
the...
He's, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think she's more... she's more like way further in the gray area than he is.
I completely yeah, so, agree, so, but I... The fact that basically the linchpin to both of these MCUs is a character of dubious moral standing in some ways, who is a government functionary who is willing to do what it takes and buck the rules to get things done, and is also portrayed by a black character, is not a mistake, I don't think. Like, I know Amanda Waller's been in the DC books for years and years, and it makes sense to use her as a linchpin, and she's amazing. And like, I really like the portrayal of her. And I liked her in Arrow, too, from a different actress. But as an axis, to borrow an Andor term, it is so similar to what Marvel did as to be a little suspect in terms of, like, okay, mm-hmm. like, are you really going to build the universe in the exact same way? Maybe, I don't know. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what James Gunn does, because I trust him to use the tools appropriately.
Yeah.
And I don't mean any of the people or the tools, but like the...
Well, yeah. No, but that's...
You know, you can pick up your toys and bash them together, or you can stage a little stop motion movie, and hopefully he goes for the stop motion movie rather than bashing toys together.
I will say, in addition to Viola Davis showing up as Amanda Waller, there is a brief cameo from Jennifer Holland as Harcourt, who shows up for like 30 seconds, which was like, a lady from Peacemaker. She's pretty good.
Yeah, this is how James Gunn is getting his beak wet and getting a little bit of money into his house.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not here, but my wife is showing up in all of these movies.
It's totally legally different situation. It's not the same thing.
And of course, totally not double dealing. As the internet has already probably spoiled in most cases, the Superman does appear briefly in a post-credits scene.
In his last appearance.
In his last. Yeah. Poor Henry Cavill shows up like, we should talk.
That.
Yeah, and it's like, nope, you will never talk. Never mind.
Yeah.
So that is sort of fascinating. Did that happen while we were not talking? No, on hiatus. Did that happen during that interim?
It's like we had a falling out. Did I not know?
That's exactly why we did. You don't know. You never know, man. John.
Oh, hold on. I've got. Can I just throw out this? This is my. I don't know if this is quite a Piper moment, but I'm kind of enjoying this. So there's a kid in the movie, as I mentioned, who is Adriana Tomasi's son, who's like a teenager who befriends Black Adam and tries to convince him, like, you need to be the hero that our country needs. I just realized I saw his name. His name is Bodhi Sabung. I can't pronounce his last name so far. Sabungui, Sabongui. I was like, I know that last name. And I looked it up, and sure enough, his dad is Patrick Sabungui, who you may remember from The Flash as the captain of the police captain, Joe's boss for like basically the entire.
Wow.
And I was like, oh. It's the, okay. So I guess superheroing is in the family, or superhero connected. Singh, Captain Singh. Right. Exactly.
Singh.
So I was like, well, good to see his kid is, got the business as well.
That's cool. Wait. So I guess what I was asking was, Henry Cavill showing up in this, kind of, it feels like a victorious comeback a little bit, but apparently, not so much, because Gunn has said that the next Superman will not be Henry Cavill. And this sort of roiled the rock, too. Dwayne Johnson was... from what you said, seemed to be angling to make this movie. This movie gets made, and Dwayne, after the movie came out, seemed to be saying that, like, yeah, we're going to rebuild the DCU in this shape, only to be... not cruelly, because I don't think Gunn seems to do that, but like just quite publicly be like, oh yeah, we're doing something different. We're going to hire a different Superman. We're gonna sort of restructure the way the movies are made. Is there anything in this movie that can hold together, or is it just some weird artifact of like the staggering end of what an attempted universe that DC had made?
I think this is a narrative cul-de-sac. Yeah. I think that this is,
yeah,
this was got made because of The Rock's fondness for this character, and he'd been trying to do it for many years. You can tell, if nothing else, so I believe he produced at least a big chunk of this. Like, I'm sure he probably tossed down some money to the director of this, who I was thinking, like, this movie is adequately directed, but it's not going to blow you away. And I just looked up and discovered the director is the same guy who directed Dwayne Johnson in Jungle Cruise. And I'm like, okay, so this is a guy that Dwayne Johnson was basically like, I worked fine with him, and I'm just going to get this guy to direct it. And he won't, like, he'll basically, not to speak ill, but
Jungle,
like,
Cruise was,
he'll give
Brock's
me a free hand,
movie.
I think.
I think it was his first movie. It was like one, or maybe, no, sorry. Scorpion King was his first movie. But
this is, Jungle Cruise came out like
last year,
dude.
Oh, wait, Jungle Cruise? No,
yeah,
no,
Jungle
no.
Cruise, yeah. Nope. Yeah, you're thinking of the wrong thing.
I am. I'm thinking of the one where he's with Stifler and, I don't know.
Oh, you're thinking of The Rundown?
The Rundown.
Yeah.
The Rundown. Wow. Wow. Dan, you are incredible. I don't know why you got us two dummies.
That's an amazing
pull
there.
Yeah.
I've never even seen that movie.
That's a great, great thing. Yeah. It's also in a jungle, and that's, I don't know.
It is in a jungle. That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what happens is, like, the Rock got this movie made through sheer force of will, and the man has sheer force of will, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is,
like, I'm not knocking him for it. It just
here's the fundamental issue with this. He is an extremely charismatic actor, and the Black Adam character has very little joy to him. And it's like, if you're not using the Rock's ability to be charming and, like, to get you to like him, you're really missing a trick, right? Like, it's just not the right. You may love this role, and you may feel like you can bring something to this role, but it is not using your strengths. Funny bits, but not a lot. Like, the funniest bit is, like, the teenager keeps trying to convince him, like, you gotta have a cool catchphrase, and he keeps screwing it up by, like, accident, like, killing the guys before he says the catchphrase, and he's like, no, you gotta say it before you kill them, and you're like, all right, mildly amusing, but he's still playing the straight man more than anything, and it doesn't, that's not use of him. It really isn't. So
Squandered. Did you get the sense that he wanted to play a different kind of character than he was typically offered, and so made this role, and he thought being grimdark maybe...
If he picked this, I mean, it sounds like he wanted to make this movie. Like, he wanted to be this character.
I think it's
maybe like, you know, oh, I'm a good actor, I can play against type. And not really what we want you to do.
I saw this same comment from
like maybe do the Adam Sandler thing and play it drunk, or like play like Punch Drunk Love style. You know, like play something.
Well, there was
a
story just the other day
is vulnerable in some way rather than
There was a story just the other day with an interview with Dave Bautista where he talked about like wanting to do stuff beyond playing Drax and like feeling like he could do serious roles and stuff like that. And I, you know, that may be the case. I thought he was pretty good in Glass Onion, although that's also a pretty comedic role.
But he was also good. Like, I can't remember if he was in the movie itself, but he was in Blade Runner 2048. Was that in the movie or was that in a side? Cause there was also like a thing that was like released. That was like a side piece to,
he was in that. And he was in Dune too. Because he mentioned working with Villeneuve like three times.
Right. And I thought he was quite good in the Blade Runner thing.
Yeah, and I think
it's very understated. It's very like, you know, it's not, but it's certainly nothing like Drax.
Right. Yeah. Like taking Guy's point, I think it's the right answer though, is like you can play a serious character, but maybe don't play a serious character in a fun movie. Like,
that's kind of doing you favors.
Yeah. Superheroing is not the time to be like, I need to play a very grim, serious character. No, these movies are fun. And so, I mean, as predicted from, you know, not to spoil this too, but I don't think any of it is really a big spoiler. You will see every plot twist coming. But like the whole thing is about him being like, he shows up and he wants to defend the country and be, you know, carry out vengeance, and he kills people. But like, again, as we discussed when the trailer came out, that's the starting point. It's all about him like learning to be a hero. And it's like, even if he's not your traditional like hero, he at odds with the Justice Society or whatever, but in the end they come together, blah blah blah. It's fine as an arc. I don't think it's the most compelling thing in the world, but it's, you know, this movie's not great. It's in the C category, you know, let's get in the C range. I'm not giving it anything higher than that.
What?
Sorry, it's in the
letter grade?
It's not.
We have one. Not, we've got a perfectly good one. We've got Alex.
Yeah,
it's an Alex. It only goes down to a C.
Yeah, it's an Alex for sure. There's no, John Jr. is not even factoring into this.
Alex is the kind of boyfriend that Thea had that even after he got killed, she just did not care. Didn't even go back. It, yeah. Wasn't even
she was
DJ
sadder about
breakup.
The ninja DJ. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Anyways, that's my feeling on Black Adam. It's pretty skippable. If you know, I watch it in two chunks, I think, because I watch it for an hour or hour and a half and was like, there's an hour left in this movie. Jesus.
Is it weird that I want to watch this more than the other two things that you've actually recommended?
Me too. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I do too.
I think we've determined the problem
quicker.
Here.
It's time
it's
limited.
A lot faster.
It's time
right?
limited.
It's
yeah,
only
but
2 hours.
It's worse investment of time.
I don't know. I think I'm going to end up watching Black Adam. Oh, I think I'm with John.
All right. Well, I look forward to you coming back with
your
feelings.
All right,
guy,
call me when you're going to.
I will, I'll do it this weekend. Just because we touched on it sort of obliquely, this seems like a narrative dead end. The Batman, I liked more than I thought I did. That does not, well, not, I, the second time through, I enjoyed it a lot more. The first time, most of it, I was like, I'm not sure I like this, until he started saving people. Like, when he put in the time at the arena, and we saw him helping people onto, like, medevac stuff, I'm like, okay, I got it. Now I know why we went through all of that grim.
It's definitely one of the movies that I've enjoyed more of all of the DC ones.
Yeah. Agreed. And they seem to be, or at least they haven't stopped it yet. They haven't said, okay, we're not doing that. How hopefully, and my honest earnest thing is, like, just let that be its own thing. If you're gonna do another one, and I suspect they are, if they've said they are because there's money there, maybe don't try to tie it in with this other jazz, because I don't know how you're gonna do that without sort of muddying the waters.
I mean, it sounds like he's making some. he's got some big decisions to make, obviously. James Gunn.
Yeah.
And it seems like he's making them some way, you know, whatever the grand scheme is, we don't really know and we won't know for a while. Yeah. But it does seem like he's definitely moving some of the chess pieces. And yeah, I mean, that's one way to go, is just to keep that separate and have that be sort of prequel or whatever you want to call it, or just an alternate universe or whatever. It does seem like you do want to. You know, if you want to get the full benefit of your characters, you do want to have Batman interacting with the rest of them in some way.
Yes, but maybe just a different Batman is my pitch.
Yeah, so I guess that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe you choose not to, I don't know, you know, that seems weird though, than to have, like, you would have single character, you know, headline characters like the Flash.
Yeah.
have their own movies, and then have Batman not have, you know, not the, your Batman in that universe not have his own movies because you get this other Batman running around.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I don't know what the answer, I don't know what the best answer is.
I do not envy Jim. Well, okay, probably envy James Gunn a bit, but his position is unenviable.
I don't know, his life seems terrible.
His position seems a little unenviable, right? Because he's got, on one hand, he's got Dwayne Johnson, and his desire to, like, sculpt a DCU around what appears to be a failed movie. He's got
with a kind of, you know, not like marquee character either. Like,
right.
You know, I mean, he does really seem like, you know, if you ever read his Twitter stuff and, like, the things that he said, you know, he does seem like he wants this character to be like the bedrock for the entire universe.
Right. Which I don't know how you'd pull off, but okay, whatever. Yeah. So he's got that on one hand. He's got Ezra Miller and the insanity that is the Flash explosion happening on the other side. I don't want to get into that again because it's all negative and I don't care about it. But those are two things on your plate. And then you've got this one, the Batman movie, which is like, okay, that's actually pretty decent and pretty good. Unfortunately, that is like a Meccano piece, and we're playing Lego over here. So I don't know how to stick those two things together.
It's the GoBot to the Transformers.
Yeah, Dan with his GoBot love. I love.
Just to use a metaphor that James Gunn understands is what I'm saying.
Right. Sure. Exactly. So yeah, I don't. I mean, how do you reconcile all of these things? I'm not entirely sure. There's a bunch of pressure going every single way. And then, not to mention, he's got his own thing that he wants to do, which ultimately has to bend all of these things into being.
We don't know the details of the Flash movie. Like, if the Flash movie upsets the board enough,
right,
you can just start from there.
You can just say,
okay, we have our Batman. We got rid of our Superman, so we're going to get a new Superman, and then we're just going to go from there.
I would assume it's a table flipping.
And I can understand, let me put it this way, I can understand why, as much, Henry Cavill, I think he's a fine actor. I think he had terrible material to work with for the most part. Yeah. And I can understand why you would want to get rid of that baggage of saying, if we have Henry Cavill in this, then we're sort of bound to having counting Man of Steel and Justice League and all that stuff.
That's what
stuff
I would say to him
canon.
In the meeting, right? It's like, you're great. We got to change things up. We have to.
So this situation is not working.
And it's larger than any one person, right? The Batman is fairly free of baggage right now because it was its own thing. So you can.
And it's a decent enough start that you can build on it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you're only bound to one movie at that point, really.
Right.
So you can just sort of take that as a launching pad. I cannot imagine, unless they are handcuffed into a deal with Ezra Miller, I can't imagine that he will last more than one movie.
God, I saw something the other day saying that they were open to keeping him. I was just like, really?
I would be surprised.
I would be surprised too. I mean, you see this stuff all the time.
Knowing that person, anything. They may well be handcuffed. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, they could have written. You could always buy it out, or I'm sure.
Yeah, there's a way
some
out.
Sort of an escape clause. You don't. I mean, well, I don't know. These people don't seem like they're necessarily all the brightest. So maybe
we tried to sign a contract with him, but he just ran away really fast. Because he's the Flash.
I don't. Two reasons: A, I don't like giving that person any more attention than getting a massive splash. B, every time we do this, we accidentally misgender them, and I don't like to edit that. I want to avoid that situation.
Every single time. I apologize for that.
No, it's fine.
This time, which I probably have.
This particular person is the worst. It's a
they're
bad
not
situation. Great. And having Superman is supposed to be uplifting. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the thing that saved the Batman for me was literally uplifting. There was helicopters lifting people out of a bad situation.
aren't the helicopters the superhero guy?
That's the next superhero. Yes. Helicopter
man. Yeah, like Kite Man from Harley Quinn.
Kite Man. Yeah.
Dan, do you have any subsequent things that you've watched that you want to share with us?
I think that covers sort of the broad strokes of this. I believe there is a second Shazam movie in the offing.
There is.
Yeah.
It's on the way.
Yeah. I think it's already been filmed and everything. Right?
I think so too, guys. I remember seeing a trailer for it at some point.
Yeah.
The first one was pretty good. I would watch a second one.
Yeah. I mean, that one, that's like a teeny bopper movie in a way, but it was good.
I guess, but it's still, I don't know.
I'm
that character is tricky like that, right?
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see Zach Levi fight Dwayne Johnson.
I don't think he even appears in it, does he? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. He's not the bad guy.
No,
there's
but it's
some
Shazam
other bad
and
guy.
Black Adam at some point.
Yes, right, exactly.
In that alternate universe where that runs, that's your big clash? Zachary Levi versus Black Adam? I don't. Where's this going?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Great question.
Yeah, that should be fun. I guess I was unoffended by the first one. It sounds like a very mild thing to say, but it was fine. It just wasn't for me. Didn't they? Yeah, they Shazam family'd at the end, right? And then in an amusement park.
Yep.
Something like that.
Yes.
You're remembering correctly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Didn't somebody die? No. Nobody died.
Yeah. No. I mean,
I'm thinking of the end of Titans, which is also at the end of in an amusement park.
Yeah.
Titans season 3 or 4 something's coming out. That's the one where Robin dislikes Batman. But Batman is played by, oh my God, I'm going to blank on his name.
Ian Glen?
Ian Glen, yeah, which is an inspired choice for an old Bruce Wayne who's basically post-Batman, but still belaboring his thought process and his way of being by being the Batman, despite just being Bruce Wayne all the time. Like,
right.
He's just an ass, basically. And Ian Glen is great for that. Like, an old, worn-out Batman is great. Like, a Dark Knight Returns with him could work, for sure. Or somebody of his acting prowess and even stature, because he's not huge. But you do believe that he's capable of movement in such a way that would, you know, jump out of people from the shadows and mess him up quickly and run away type thing. Does that make sense? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like the hit and run sort of tactics of Dark Knight Returns would sort of work well with somebody that age and shape, I suppose.
Yeah, I have not watched any of that show, and I can't tell if it would be good or not.
I watched the first episode, and that was...
it's not...
I decided not to watch anymore.
I have watched all of it.
Okay.
And John is correct. Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not a lot going on. The first season I didn't like. It gets better. It has more heart. It is quite determined to be a... What in the late 80s, early 90s was like, let's write comic books for adults, and where adults meant angsty teenagers, basically.
Right.
It's angry teenage dumb stuff where
older teen
disaffected. It's like disaffected youth, and it's there's not a lot to commend it beyond that, to be
not
honest.
Only don't your parents understand you, they're probably evil.
Right. Yeah, well, I hadn't even thought of that part of the message, but like it's not great. There are performances that I like, there are aspects to it that I appreciate. Ultimately,
The other thing I'll say for some of these terrible things is, like, it's always just nice to see those characters brought to life, right?
Yes, yeah.
You know, you kind of like, I like to see Nightwing in an outfit. Like, it's cool. He looks badass.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly.
That's neat. Yeah. So, you know, some of that's, that there's an enjoyment factor to almost any of them.
Starfire's cool. I like Starfire. There's an interesting sort of plot going on with her there. Again, overly angsty kind of thing. Dick Grayson is less of a dick in later seasons. You know, he mellows out a little bit, and part of that is through talking to Bruce and like what their conflict was and overcoming that. Like, it happens, it works. It's not completely dissimilar to Young Justice in sort of the progress of the characters, but they notch it like 10 degrees, 20 degrees up from what Young Justice was into being like actually just angry and murderous to a degree that I can't really, I can't advocate for. I've watched it. I think I would rather watch that than, I don't know, season 7.4 of The Flash, whatever the heck it happens to be, you know, like, because at least it's different. But it's not particularly compelling for me.
Well, you're not seeing Barry run faster for playing time.
Right.
Yeah.
We got some sweep.
Let's do some sweep.
Yeah, we could do some quick superhero sweep over in the superhero sweep section. What's going on in the superhero world now?
Well, speaking of James Gunn, you pointed out that he is apparently working on an unnamed HBO show.
Yeah, a DC TV show, at least. I don't know where.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I guess where it would end up
where
airing.
It will appear. Yeah.
And then he's mentioned that there is a show. There's two shows. So he was working on a show connected to the Suicide Squad stuff, and this sounds like it may be a different show that's DC, but like than that, where those all end up, I don't know. I'm guessing, if I had to guess, I assume everything that's DC universe will now be on HBO Max, right? Like,
I think you mean Max.
Sorry, yeah, that's right. Jesus.
Is that really that they haven't really dropped that yet, have they?
They've threatened to, yeah. I believe, but yeah just, I don't.
That's just so dumb.
Yeah,
that's just so it's so petty and stupid.
Yeah, the CW has, I guess, still Superman and Lois, and there's the Gotham Knights series that hasn't aired yet, but is coming, which looks not great, despite the fact that it stars a guy's friend of mine, Misha Collins, who I adore. I don't think that show looks very good.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen anything about this.
There's a trailer for it out there. Yeah, it's not. It's not great. Okay. It's basically like Batman's dead, and like here's like the kids of all their villains have to team up or something.
See the trailer for this.
It doesn't look good. I don't think it will last very long, is my guess.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe like 8 years from now, we'll be like, it's season 7 of Gotham Knights. They're still going. But I don't.
They turned around Legends. So
yeah, the CW does not really want to be in this business anymore, I think.
No, I think years ago, or I don't know, a year ago, I had the feeling, and maybe I was saying that CW used to be like vampires, and then it was superheroes, and now like sexy vampires, and then sexy superheroes, and now it's got to find its next sexy thing to be. But I think it's running out of runway in that like network TV is not a thing anymore, or it's that avenue is closing down. So I think they're maybe floundering to find out, okay, what can we be? Like, what's our next set of sexy
and their demographic was young people, right? And
yeah,
so
guess what?
Young people don't watch, right? They're not watching any of this stuff anymore for the most part. And if they are watching it, they're certainly not watching it on network television.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like middle-aged people trying to recapture their youth. What does that say about us?
Why don't they target me? Come on.
We're the ones with money.
Oh, yeah.
Teenagers don't have money.
I'm gonna make my own show.
I would watch that show. I would not work on it.
Oh yeah. Well, you think John Maltz is like a grizzled Dark Knight, or maybe like, I don't know. I get, you know what? It's the turtleneck.
Is the man who trained Alfred Pennyworth. That's who
I was
John
gonna say.
Maltz
he's
is.
A grizzled Aquaman, is what he is.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I've seen some fish. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
who was the? I can't think of the guy's name. The lieutenant, the second in, what's his name's partner? Jim Gordon's partner on Gotham.
Oh, Bullock.
Yeah, but I like Bullock's roommate.
Like Harvey's taking his cues from the wrong guy. Let me tell you, Bullock. What you really need to do is get drunk and not care about anything. Well, that sounds like a good idea.
Harvey's intern.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got, there's that stuff. So the DC universe continues to be a mess until Gunn reboots, pulls the plug and reboots all of it.
And then speaking of the CW stuff, they announced that Diggle would appear in the final season of The Flash. And as well, Stephen Amell announced that he will appear in the final season of The Flash. So... Back in the hood
as a character who is dead multiple times over, but you know comic books, so whatever.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I could bury time and space travel. Whatever.
So yeah, I rewatched that last episode.
I was going to say we started recording. Full circle.
And it's real clumsy. It was surprisingly clumsy even.
Why?
I mean, some of it's nice, some of it's well done, but it's just so many. I mean, they did, and part of it I think is just it's structured weirdly because they brought so many characters back, which is really nice that they did that. Actually, I was even surprised that there were a lot of characters there that I had kind of forgotten about, and also ones that I wouldn't have remembered were there in that episode. Because they at one point they mentioned Tommy, and I was like, oh, they mentioned Tommy's back, but they didn't get him, but then he shows up at the funeral, so he was actually in the episode. And then we get that great picture of Barry flashing the peace sign for the funeral.
The meme.
Keeps on giving.
A great picture.
I mean, I'm glad that they are bringing back both Stephen Amell and David Ramsey for if nothing else, basically the end of the Arrowverse, right? Like at this point, Superman and Lois, I think, admitted that they're like, nope, we're in a different universe. Don't worry about it, even though Diggle has appeared there. Yeah, they're doing
none of it makes any sense.
Yeah, they're doing their own thing, which is fine. I don't have any complaints about that. So this is like the end of the Flash is really the end of the Arrowverse, which is fascinating because there was a time where it felt like, how could this ever die? It's so huge. There are so many shows. And the answer is slowly and then all at once.
Yeah, I kind of felt like once it was a tipping point, it was going to contract hard. I mean, we watched it happen with our favorite show, Star Trek. After it expanded it to a certain amount, it was like, okay, there was Star Trek saturation and it collapsed, right?
Yeah.
There was, what, 87 to, I don't know, 2003 or 4.
But there's never more than two shows going at once.
I know.
I mean, that was big for that deal, for those days.
But back then, that was a big deal. And those were, you know, again, 24 episode shows.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of Star Trek.
Yeah. That's true.
And it did.
I mean, there's 67 NCISs, and somehow that keeps going.
Those are
the people who watch broadcast television. And
yes, they're over 60. It's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to be derisive of the NCIS viewers among our listenership. I apologize.
What are you talking about? We're getting there.
I'm sure they're
I'm sure they're
wonderful. I'm sure they're all wonderful shows.
But yeah, I wrapping up the CW does make sense. I think there's a lot of value in a narrative universe, and I think if you expend that value, it's time to try something new. Because a universe in these kind of ways is set as much by tone as by interlocking events, because the events only really happen due to a tone, right? Like a lot of the Arrow stuff and the Arrowverse stuff is predicated upon the people just not telling each other what they need to know at the time that they need to know it. And like, that's the whole tone of the thing. It's like, why are these personal dynamics not working out to help us?
Somebody inexplicably not running fast enough when they should be running faster.
Right, yeah. Well, it's because they're sad because what's-his-name ate the ham out of a sandwich and only got was Swiss cheese sandwich, and that's sad. And why do they do that? Well, because 3 weeks ago, who cares? It's dumb.
Someone was taken hostage.
Right, but that tonality sets the universe, right? And as you... I think you refine that. It's like boiling water more and more, like salty water. You're just going to end up with the salt again kind of thing. And when you get down to like where we're at with the CW universe at this point, this superhero universe, the Arrowverse, I think we're kind of boiled the whole thing dry. I don't think there's a lot of value left in that particular approach to storytelling. I think Superman and Lois has sort of jumped out of that frying pan a little bit.
And I would say Legends did too, just by having a very different tone. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
And, you know, anyway.
But they didn't know
I think Legends could have gone on for at least another season. It would have been fine.
I think so. But it was not going to be the seed that started something new, right? It was, if anything, it was funny because it was a bit of a reaction to what was going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do think it deserved a season or something to wrap up.
Yes.
But, you know. Unfortunately, that's where we're at.
Even a short season would have been nice.
What we've taken. Jeez, CW. Superman and Lois, I can't imagine there's more than... I don't think they'll spend more than one season on it. I think they'll say this is the third season and it's last.
Yeah. Well, everybody's
there's things that I like about
cool.
that show, and yet it's for some reason it's not compelling to me.
I like the show, but it's not my favorite. It's a background lunch watching thing for me. I don't find myself particularly wrapped up in it. I don't think it's bad. There are shows I have watched that are like, why am I watching this? It's bad, right? The Flash, I watch and I've watched some of, and I'm like, why am I spending my time? I just finished. This is not superhero content, but I did just finish, as I mentioned to you before we start recording. The third season of the Jack Ryan show on Amazon. It's not good, I gotta say. I have some complaints about that I could detail in another show if there were a show that covered that. But I watch it because I'm a stupid sucker. But I don't think it's like, I don't think that is compelling at all. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can watch and say like, this is fine. And then there's stuff you can watch and say like, this is a waste of my time. And I think Superman and Lois falls into the, like, I at least mildly enjoy this show.
And I appreciate what's going on. I think the stories in general are, you know, like, there's not a lot of stuff about it, like, you know, like when we were watching Arrow, like all the secret stuff that got really old. And there isn't anything quite like that. I mean, there's a little bit of high school drama stuff.
Yeah, but high school characters.
That gets a little bit tiresome, but it's not as bad as...
And I think they do
a nice
job. It's
also high school students, which is...
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Which makes more sense than professional adults.
And I think they do a nice job with the family dynamics, I think that's solid as well. But again, I think just the CW doesn't want to be in that business anymore. And if they feel like this is too expensive and we're done with it, they will cancel it without any problems. So, I guess in the end, James Gunn's getting what he wants, which is a clean slate to try and wipe everything and start over again, which is probably what the DC universe needs.
Yep, he should just give Tony Gilroy the CW.
Oh, my God.
Just imagine.
Tony Gilroy does not want the CW.
Don't even start with me. Don't even get me excited.
It's going to be Dick Grayson handing out communist manifestos on a college campus and getting,
I think that would work with Ollie,
It would, okay. Yeah. Okay, now.
Yeah. Imagine Tony Gilroy's Arrow. Green Arrow.
Oh, God. Imagine this. I'm going to start a letter writing campaign. That would be truly, truly great.
That would be, I mean, like, have him make a movie. Have him make the Green Arrow movie.
I think they're going to need a few years to get away from the legacy of Arrow before they can even Arrow doing that character was such
lock him up for five years from now.
Then just hand it to Tony Gilroy. Just dear reader, Tony Gilroy is the guy behind Andor. It's just great.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things, right? Where it's like when Arrow started, everyone's like, a show about the guy who shoots arrows? I mean,
come on.
But, I think they decided we're going to do something different with it, and it kind of worked for them.
Yeah. Season was pretty solid. I think I now prefer it over the second season.
Really? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. It's been a long time. I've seen the second season enough that I don't care to revisit it. But the first season, I really enjoyed.
Okay. Well,
that's fair.
Okay, and it ends with the darkness on the edge of town. Like, remember when they used to end with, like, Springsteen songs? That was great.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I don't remember why. There was some Springsteen song that I was thinking of, and I couldn't. Then I was like, oh, yeah, remember that?
And then on the Marvel side, we've got... I think we're about 6 weeks out from the Ant-Man Quantumania, which is the next entry in the current phase. And then Secret Invasion will air sometime they've said spring, I think. So that could basically be any time from March to June. I would imagine it'll probably be on the earlier side, I think, because then there's another, the Marvels is next after that.
That's the summer movie.
July, so they're going to want to squeeze it in between those, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just to keep people... I'm surprised that there isn't a show airing right now. It does feel like it's been a long... The last thing to air was She-Hulk, and they've had nothing since then.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess they figure it because they have Willow still running, and they have Bad Batch starting up. Maybe they thought...
Right,
that, that's Disney enough to... Plus thinks that they're covered, right? Which is really what...
They are. I've seen a few episodes of Willow. It's okay.
Oh, really? I think it's great.
I like it. I mean, I don't think it's like it's not perfect. I think it's a little loose around the edges, but I do enjoy it.
I'm actually super bullish on it because I felt like we watched a lot of other fantasy shows that are either too grim or very full of themselves.
Yeah. Right.
And this show does not care.
Yeah.
Yep. It is totally
campy.
And it
doesn't ask you. It doesn't. Yeah. Like, and it tells you it doesn't care. It's very obvious about it, which is very fun. It's not like, seriously.
It's honestly very well written. It's a very funny show. Yeah. Like, there's actually really good jokes and bits in it. The guy who plays Borman is... That guy just deserves to be in a lot more stuff because he's very funny.
Yeah, he's good. So. I mean, Tony Revolori's good too.
Revolori's great.
It's a good cast. Yeah. I just think that there's weird. Some of the direction isn't great, I think. And I mean, there's places where it falls apart a little bit. But overall, I enjoy it, and I look forward to watching. It's a show that I look forward to watching every week.
I thought the last episode was really solid.
Last episode was quite good, actually. Yeah.
I would give that show a solid A-. I honestly think it's
What is this A-? Jesus, God damn.
It's a new year. New year, new rating system.
I mean, I would give it. I'll give it a biff.
Oh, definitely gets a biff.
But I think it's like. I mean, I think it rides a lot on its heart. Yeah. And there's other stuff that they could have tightened up too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I watched a couple. Amanda's a huge fan of the original Willow.
I care not a whit for the original
movie.
Okay,
that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I saw the original Willow and was like, oh, okay. You know, it's, you know, it was George Lucas's like his shot at like doing Lord of the Rings in the late 80s, and it's like, okay, it's we're not ready for that yet. Clearly,
I saw it, I
but
got
that
it.
Was okay.
I appreciated some of it, but it did not stick in my psyche. It wasn't Star Wars for me. It was just like, okay, no, cool, I'm moving on kind of thing. But for whatever, for her, it caught her attention. So we watched a couple, but I basically fell asleep. I've managed to turn it on to Star Wars by watching Andor, and then she'd seen it before, but not Andor, but Rogue One. And Star Wars movies, but so yeah, we watched Andor. And now we started watching. We just in a day and a half, we lost power for a day because we're in California and the lights went out for a while. We watched basically all of season one of The Mandalorian with no power, just huddled around an iPad, and it went from like, oh god, is this Baby Yoda? I hate Baby Yoda,
like our ancestors,
right? Yeah, it was really pretty magical, like. I connected to my phone. I downloaded the season over cell.
Wow. What is this? A technology podcast?
All on battery. And it was amazing. By the end of the night, like the power came back on and I was at 56% of power in my iPad. I'm like, this is insane, dude. Like we don't deserve technology this good. Anyway, so we watched all of that and we went from, oh God, it's the Baby Yoda show. I hate Baby Yoda. Because she just heard so much about it, to about four episodes in being like, can we make a baby together? Because the Baby Yoda is an effective that little Muppet will get you laid. Wait, I'm telling you.
Did Guy just make an announcement on this?
No, no announcement. If the lights were out, we can't do anything with lights. Who knows where the parts go. Mm-hmm. Long story short, Star Wars is doing great. Marvel's doing pretty great. I kind of want DC to be doing as great and in a different direction. And I like the fumbling's weird, but I've got heart to see James Gunn pull it out. But as we were saying at the beginning of the show, that means that like a lot of the stuff that's coming out is no longer network TV, especially with the CW stuff. So, things are a lot more intermittent. So I think what we're going to be doing going forward is covering shows that we want to cover and then probably putting out an episode every 2 weeks rather than every week. And that's just the vague plan that we came up with before we started talking. And it, you know, subject to change as we get excited to talk about stuff. Maybe we'll fill in extra episodes. Are we in agreement on that? Like, did I correctly convey what we
discussed?
I say aye. Okay, and apparently we're now going to a brand new, nobody's heard of it, rating system of A, B, C's with a plus and minus modifier. It seems overly intricate to me.
Is there a zero at the top?
It'll never catch on. There's an S at the top.
I've never understood that S tier thing. I don't understand it. YouTube has broken my head, and like the blah, blah, blah iceberg explained. What is this? I don't understand any of this YouTube stuff.
Well, we should end this before we all lose it. Well, like Guy said, we will probably be back in a couple weeks with our next episode on topic yet to be determined. We always appreciate you sending us your letters. You can send them at biff@theincomparable.com. We are also on Mastodon. Guy, BiffCast. What is that?
At biffcast at mastodon.social.
You had a question mark at the end there.
Mark is part of the punctuation of following somebody on Mastodon.
it's not literally in there, but you have to type it like that.
Do you know what I honestly like, and just I know this is not a technology podcast, Mastodon has picked up enough that, like, I don't think you need to describe the hurdles of getting on there anymore. I think there's, people are showing up enough that, like, they've made that leap. So it doesn't, it doesn't fall on us to explain that sort of leap anymore, which is very, very, a weight off, because I would prefer it and I don't want to have to do the work. But yeah, at Biffcast, at mastodon.social. And yeah, hit us up there and ask us questions. And honestly, if you ask enough interesting questions and you give us a topic to discuss, maybe we'll make a whole show out of it. Because,
well, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. And since you mentioned that, if I may take that as a segue, we did have a letter from a while back, which I did want to put a pin in, but maybe it would be a good topic for a future show. Reader Joe, I want you to know we did not forget that you sent us a letter back at the end of December. It was before the holidays. Stuff, fell through the cracks. Yeah. But we'll put a pin in that and come and circle back around.
Yeah, I've been sick and I've been on Southwest flights that did not do so much.
Didn't go anywhere.
Do you know what? Okay. Because it's been 3 weeks, I'm going to explain this story real quick. We were about to fly out to Phoenix. I'm currently in Menlo Park, California. We got up way early. We packed everything up. We got a car up to SFO, San Francisco Airport. We stood there. We realized eventually we are not, the reason that we cannot check our bags in is because we are in the wrong airport. Then we got in a car and went a cab all the way down. Yikes. To San Jose Airport, the airport we were supposed to be at. A $200 cab ride, I'll have you know.
No.
On Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, on Christmas Eve with all of our stuff, and we just got to go. And it's the kind of thing, it's like, look, this is an idiot tax. We went to the wrong airport. This is on me. Well, it's on me and Amanda, but it's on us. So we just paid it. Well, okay, we got to go. Get there, plenty of time. The flight gets delayed. 6.5 hours later, Southwest is like, you know what? Just go home. Like, we're done. And so we didn't go anywhere for Christmas. But but what I told told Amanda's daughter is that, look, hey, we saw two airports. We spent a bunch of money and we drove around. Like, we spent time in a cramped environment in a car. Feels like travel to me. We're going to call it a win.
Yeah, really. Yeah, you did travel, right?
Yeah. Anyway, that was Christmas. So guess what? I did not. And then I got sick. So, no. Sorry. I did not end up editing anything together the Christmas. Yeah, Happy New Year. Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone. Anyways, yes, we will be back in a couple weeks. As always, send us your letters. And I would like to thank my co-hosts. John Maltz, thanks for being here.
I'm going to leave everyone with by paraphrasing a line from the last episode of Arrow. It's been a while since we podcasted, but a while is what it took for these rags to work again. Since then, I've been fighting for justice.
Oh, no, I don't see any problems with that. That seems fine. Guy English, always a pleasure.
It's been a while since then.
No, we don't do that anymore.
We gave that up.
We got rid of that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. Thank you, everybody out there, for reading the transcripts, for following along, for sending your support, becoming members of The Incomparable. All of it is much appreciated. We are back this year. We're going to be doing shows. Keep yourself tuned to that podcast app of choice, and we will see you next time.